church, God bless you. You know what? I loved being a dad. I loved being a dad, but I loved it when my kids were little. And there was something about it when Ashley would say, "Daddy," I knew I was about to get lighter in the wallet. Something like that. She called me not too long ago, a couple years back. "Daddy, great. You're grown. You're married now, all right? Forget it. Let him do something. We need you to pick us up at the airport or drop us off at the airport." I'm like, "Okay, great. What time?" 3 a.m. I'm like, "What in the world?" But Daddy did what Daddy does. Because it's all in the address. It's all in how we address. I love being now a grandpa. Papa. Papa G. I'm waiting for him to say Papa G. He hasn't said it yet. Apparently, his other grandpa is Papa, and he's a doctor, so he's Papa Doc. And I found out that he says that. So I'm a little bum right now. Like, you see him all the time. So next time he comes to me, he says, "Papa Cheese," I'm going to go ask Papa Doc. "Oh, he's in Oklahoma, is he?" No. Just playing. What am I saying? You know what? It's all in the address. It's all in how you approach. There's something special about that. And my heart begins to melt right away. And it's like, "Papa Cheese." And it's like, of course. I mean, maybe that's going to be my name. Not Papa G, Papa Cheese. I don't know. He knows I like cheese. And if I'm in the refrigerator, he follows me. Because he knows we're going to get some string cheese. You know, it's all in the address. And Jesus gets to this place in the Sermon on the Mount where they ask him, "Jesus, would you teach us how to pray?" And he begins with the address. He begins with how you address the Father from the very beginning. It's such an important thing. I was reading about a little boy who was being watched by his grandparents. And the little boy goes up to the grandpa and says, "Grandpa, can I get a chocolate chip cookie from the cookie jar?" And Gramp says, "What's the rule about cookies in this house?" "No cookies until after dinner," he said in a bummed way. Grandpa looks back and says, "Nope, that's Grandma's rule. Grandpa's rule is bring me one too." All the grandpas in the house say amen. He's like, "You just get to play you go for it. You make the rules, you break the rules." That's the grandpa rule. Well, again, it's all in the address. Let's read this together out loud, if you wouldn't mind. Very familiar prayer. You may have memorized it slightly different than what the version is we're about to read. So if it trips you up a little bit, it's okay. You'll be fine. Just read the words you see on the screen. We'll be good. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is probably the most famous prayer in the Bible, if you will. Prayer of Jabez gets a little bit of publicity, but this is the Lord's Prayer. Everybody say the Lord's Prayer. And we call it the Lord's Prayer because it's taught by the Lord, but not because he needed to pray it. Because we know that he's sinless. For him to pray, "Forgive me of my sins," it doesn't make sense. He was teaching disciples. It's probably better called the disciples' prayer. He was teaching them how to pray. And to pray for forgiveness of sins would have been kind of pointless for Jesus because he was sinless. And we should know right off the bat that this prayer is not some sort of a magical formula. It's not been formatted in such a way that if you say these exact words in the exact order with a candle lit and some incense burning and you repeat it over and over and over again, some magically things begin to happen. Pray and pray without ceasing. This is one of the prayers that this is the main prayer Jesus gave us, but it's not a formula. This is not a formula, but it's rather more like a pathway for getting our heart in the right position to petition the Lord, but then also to receive from him. It's about a heart. We need to have a good heart attitude when we reverence our God. We need to have a good heart attitude when we're asking things from the Lord. And we need to have a good heart attitude toward other people if we expect God to answer our prayers. And so this prayer starts just as I mentioned about the address. It starts with the appreciation and the reverence for whom you're making the petition. In this case, we're talking about God. It starts with an appreciation and a reverence for God. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is so much in one sentence. Our Father in heaven. Think about that, just that sentence alone. Our Father in heaven, that we are praying to the God that's established a covenant relationship with us. A covenant relationship is when two people come into an agreement over something. And their yes is their yes, and their no is their no. We got that from a couple weeks ago. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. You enter into a covenant relationship, and we enter, in this case, the covenant relationship that God makes with human beings through the blood of Jesus Christ. We make this, enter into the covenant with the Almighty God. In fact, the Bible in the Old Testament speaks of him as Yahweh. Moses was saying, who shall I say told me to come and get them? And he said, tell him I am sent me. You know what I love about that? Because I am means he is I am whatever I need. Yeah. Right now I am, he's my healer. I need healing. So I'm going to go to I am the healer. I have a covenant relationship with I am the deliverer. I have a covenant relationship with I am my friend. A covenant relationship with I am my comforter, my family. I can go to him not just with a God, but I can go to him and say, you're my father. There's an intimacy there. There's no less amount of reverence to it, but there's an intimacy. He speaks to this intimacy we have, and we can go to the Lord and trust him that the covenant that he's made with us is the covenant he's made through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said we should pray our Father in heaven, he was reminding us of that covenant relationship, that God's committed himself to us through Jesus Christ. God has made this commitment, but he's also reminding us that he's an amazing father. He's an amazing father. I often picture the prodigal father story. We always give it the story of the prodigal son, but I like thinking about it, the prodigal father, or you might say the patient father, who waits patiently by the window looking for his son to come home because of the love that he has for him. Not looking to beat him up, but looking to welcome him back into his open arms. We have a loving father just like that. As the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And listen, we don't come boldly because of who we are. We come boldly because of who he is. He's our Father in heaven. We come boldly because he's our Father, because he's made a way. And Jesus said that that's the way that we can come to the Heavenly Father. And when we do that, we should hallow his name. Hallow means to revere or to have a reverence for the Father, to set them apart, to have a worshipful heart. When you come before the Lord, hallowed be your name. Everyone say holy. I made you do that because I was drying up real fast there. Say, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Get me through this sermon. That's what Isaiah did when he saw that he was in the presence of God. He immediately went to the reverence and awe. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. He is the Lord, and the whole earth is full of his glory. He came and he hallowed his name. He revered his name. When we come to God in prayer, our hearts also ought to be filled with a sense of awe of God's holiness. That we can approach God, not because of who we are, that we're something special, but because of what Jesus did, we can now approach him with a boldness. God's inviting us to do that. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, or hallowed be your name. Then we are to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You recognize that line we sang even in the song today, here as in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the significance of this is that we can know that when we're living in God's kingdom, where God reigns, wherever his will is, whatever his will is in heaven is done on earth. We can pray that prayer. How many have ever been praying and wondered, am I praying in God's will? It's a fair question to ask. Am I praying according to God's will? And a great way to answer the question is, well, does what I'm praying about exist in heaven? In other words, if I'm praying about sickness, I can simply say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm praying about sickness. Well, sickness doesn't exist in heaven. So, Father, I'm praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I'm praying about a family member that's addicted, does addiction exist in heaven? Well, that was a weak response. All right, here we go. Audience participation portion of the show. right? Does hopelessness exist in heaven?
No.
Does suicidal thought process? No. If you got family members that are in struggle, you got family members that are away from Jesus. Everyone in heaven, God said, is not willing that anyone should perish. He wants everyone to get to heaven. And so it's God's will that you pray for your family members that don't know Christ. Pray for them because he's interceding on their behalf right now before the Father. I just know this. We can pray and according to the God's will. What's in the kingdom? What's in the heaven? What's going on? We can pray that prayer. And then what happens in the prayer is he starts initially with our addressing the Father, reminding ourselves of who he is. By the way, when we pray, hallowed be your name, it's not because God's insecure and doesn't know who he is. It's about us reminding ourselves who he is. Father, holy is your name. I'm reminding myself, holy, I'm approaching God. But I'm approaching my Father. And I can come boldly and I can approach him because of what he's done. After we've recognized who it is that we have a covenant with our Father, that we can come boldly before him. And after we've worshiped him from the depths of our soul, holy, holy, holy. And after we've submitted our thinking to aligning with God's will and being done here on earth as it is in heaven. Then we ought to turn our attention to ourselves. And the next part of the prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray every single day for our daily bread, which is not to say y'all don't have to go to work tomorrow. We still all have to do our part. The Bible is filled with other scriptures that tell us that, and let us know that we should do our part. But understand this, the instruction here is more to keep us conscious that there's a fact every day that I'm dependent upon God. I'm not dependent upon Bethel's, doesn't matter who signs my paycheck. When it was a happy steak check, it was still signed by God, as far as I was concerned. It doesn't matter. God is my source. I'm dependent on God every single day. If I go to prison tomorrow, guess who's going to be dependent on God? You bet I'm be dependent on God. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, I know that I can depend on God because, as we sang in the song, there'll be another in the fire. He's right there with me. That's how good our God is. And we ask God every single day to give us this day our daily bread. And the reason why I believe that's in the prayer is a little bit because I believe that what happens is if we go too long without reminding ourselves of who God is and that we're dependent upon him every day, I'll start thinking that I did this myself. Hello. Hey, look what I did with my own two hands. Really? Whose two hands? I'm a self-made man. Really? How did that happen? See, it's God that gives us the power to get wealth. It's God that gives us the power to even do physical labor. It's God that does that. All the blessings of God come from God. And we can fall into a trap like King Nebuchadnezzar did, where he actually said these words. Think of you prayed this prayer. But King Nebuchadnezzar, speaking of his kingdom, says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Look at that, I, the personal pronouns, I, my. The lesson from King Nebuchadnezzar, if you read the rest of that story, is because of his pride, if you will, and because of his inability to recognize that all the gifts that he had were gifts of God, he's reduced to walking around like a wild animal, living like a wild animal. Because to understand this, everything that comes into my life is only because of the grace of God. Not because of look at what I did. God gave me the ability to do that. Then he says, having the hard attitude. Then he goes on to say, now we've dealt with how we're approaching God. And now we're even dealing with, where do I fit into this? Well, I'm dependent on him. I'm completely dependent on him. And now he takes it to the next step. And he goes into another theme that he's already spoken of. But now we're praying it. And he talks about this. He says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. You notice that word as that I emphasized? As, in the same manner. Forgive me my sins as I've forgiven those who've sinned against me. Matthew adds in his gospel, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you're going to walk, if you're going to halfway forgive somebody and then pray, God, forgive me as... Anybody want to be halfway forgiven? No. So in the exact same manner, in the exact same likeness, you reap what you... If you're sowing forgiveness, you reap forgiveness. If you sow mercy, you'll receive... In fact, Jesus said that earlier in this whole sermon. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. You receive exactly what you put out there. Know this. For those of us that, you know, have been Christians for a minute, you realize there are some bumps and bruises along the way, and the enemy's always coming at you with stuff. He's always fighting at you. He's always throwing darts at you, and you're always praying and asking God to help you out in the situation. But in this situation that we have in our lives, we recognize sometimes our sinfulness, and it beats us up, and we're reminded of our past. And every time I'm reminded of my past, some sin that I did in the past, it usually typically triggers me to go, wow, thanks for reminding me of something else God forgave me from. It just gives me he tries to be an accuser, and I'm like, you're not accusing me, buddy. That's something God forgave me from. In fact, the scripture says, in him I have redemption through the blood of Jesus because of the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for you today. You're free in Christ. You can stay free in Christ today. The freedom from the ball of chain, if you will, of sin, it's freely given to us from God. But a lot of times we can't enjoy the forgiveness because we haven't forgiven somebody else in our lives. But a lot of times we haven't even forgiven ourselves. We've got to learn to forgive ourselves. And we also got to learn to forgive other people. This specifically is talking about forgiving other people. Jesus says earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll remind you of this. He says, if you find yourself at an altar like this with your hands raised, worshiping God, and you remember that you got a problem with a brother, leave the altar, go fix it, then come back and bring me your offering. But until you do that, I'm not even listening to you. That's my paraphrase, but that's basically what he says. Basically, in a sense, God's going to talk to the hand. Until you go deal with the forgiveness, the unforgiveness issue. And you know how you can tell you've really forgiven someone? That if every time that they come around, you don't have that feeling. Oh, I'll just sit on this side of the room. Adults, we've gotten good at that. You know, we'll just avoid. I'll go to another church. Then I don't have to see them anymore. Wow. It's amazing how we can walk in unforgiveness and then expect God to forgive us. I love the scripture that talks about Peter's asking Jesus, you know, trying to, in a sense, trap Jesus. How far are we going to take this thing? And how many times do I have to forgive? And Jesus says 70 times 7, which we understand is kind of symbolic for basically saying you got to live in a perpetual state of forgiveness. You get a chance every single day to forgive that person. 70 times 7. Somebody out here did the math already, right? How many times is that? So what happens if you're at 490? Steve, you're out of luck, man. I forgive you 490 times. 491, you're done, dude. It's over. Like, that's just how I roll, man. Jesus gave me a loophole. Hey, come at me when you got a couple strikes left, but don't run out. See, that's not the way God operates with us. Not even close. In fact, what I love about the 70 times 7 thing that I think I've missed so many different times in my life is every single time I run into that person that's wronged me, I have the chance to walk in forgiveness again. Every single time. It's not to say that you don't remember. It's to say that I'm going to choose to forgive again. And you walk in freedom. And the bottom line is, there's so much freedom in that because there are people who've wronged me in my life that, quite frankly, they don't even remember my name. And I can remember them. Eric, Coulter, bully on the block that used to beat me up. Anyway, I can remember them. But honestly, every time I see people that have wronged me in my life, it's another trigger to say, you know what? Man, thank God I can live at peace with that person. I can walk with peace. The reason why I think that's a great story is I think it's pretty obvious, or at least the story that Jesus tells. He tells a story when they're talking about 70 times 7. He's like, tells the story. He said, well, there's a man that owed a whole lot of money to his master, and his master forgave him that money. And then he left, and he found a guy that owed him $5 and said, pay up, sucker. So the master heard about it and said, I'm no longer forgiving you your debts. And that's a paraphrase for time's sake, but that's what happened. And I think it's an important thing to see that story, because when I think about it and I compare the sins in my life to the things that I've been forgiven of, how dare I not forgive you? Of the stuff that I've done against God, can we show the video of all my life before God? Oh, good. Thank you. We burned that. Hallelujah. Cast in the sea of forgetfulness. There's a whole lot of sin that I've been forgiven of, and then, but I'm not going to forgive you of some, maybe a bad attitude or something that you might have done or wronged me or even said something bad about me. I'm going to choose to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to choose to walk on God's side, because I know this, that if I don't, my prayers are going to be useless. Forgive me as I forgive those. And then the prayer ends with, I think, an important thing, and that is this. How many of you realize we live in a physical world that we can kind of watch for pitfalls? You know, you're looking, you're not going to, you know, if you walk down the aisle, you're going to try not to trip over the chair. We can see pitfalls and things that we could accidentally fall into if we're not careful. But in a spiritual realm, we don't see everything, do we? When it comes to temptation, a lot of times we don't see it coming. And a lot of times it's subtle. It sneaks its way in. And that temptation comes on in there. And understand this, we're tempted, but the scripture tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers in the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Paul tells us we ought to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. What he's basically saying is we need to pray that we can, that God will lead us not into temptation. That there's temptation all over the place. That, Lord God, would you just limit my temptations? You can pray that prayer. That's what he's saying to pray. You're going to be tempted from time to time. But Lord, I'm praying today that you would limit my temptations. In fact, if that lady that I haven't forgiven yet could call in sick today, God, that'd be awesome. Because I'm just not quite ready. And God's going to go, you need to forgive that. But you can pray the prayer, Lord, limit my temptations. Lord, forgive me of my debts, but now limit my temptations. How many of you know and realize that the more you think about a temptation, you're only weakening yourself to it? Oh, as an example, try going on a liquid diet for 21 days and having that package of double stuffed Oreos in the freezer. I think they're still there. Aaron, okay. But I'm sitting in my chair thinking about the V8 that I drank and how much better an Oreo would be, not dipped in V8. But and the more I think about it, the more I want, you know, and I can't, you know, double stuff. Well, that just means I got to stuff double in my mouth at the same time. I always thought that wasn't a name. That's a challenge. Double stuff, okay. But the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking about it. And the worst thing you can do, by the way, we'll do this all the time. I don't know why we do this. We'll go on a fast, look at fast, and we're sitting there watching stinking Food Channel. What world are we doing to ourselves, you know? Diners, drive-ins, and dives. We're like, oh, man, is that place in San Diego? Let's go now. You should limit your temptations when it comes to that. Well, you can do that on a physical level. We can avoid stuff like that, but we can't always see those things. There are temptations that are going to come your way that you can pray to the Father that he would limit those temptations. Worship team, I want you to come. It's like that little guy I started with. He knows he's not supposed to get a cookie out of the cookie jar, but he sneaks over to the cookie jar and he's looking. He opens the jar. It's one thing to be tempted. Now all of a sudden you could smell it even. It's like I can see it and now I can smell it. The closer you get to the temptation, the more enticing it is. We can say, Lord, would you limit my temptations? I think this prayer is powerful. The entire prayer. What wisdom is here? What a step up we're going to have in our lives if we'll pray this prayer every single day. Pray it on a daily basis, reminding ourselves that God's invited us into a covenant relationship with him. Every single day that I'm in a relationship with the great I am. I am. Says I can have a relationship with him. We're wise to bring him a lifestyle that says, Lord, I'm going to live my life in a way that I want to glorify you and glorify your name.
It's good for him to ask every single day for him to provide all of our needs. You know that the Bible says every good and perfect gift, James says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So if there's anything good in my life, it came from God. It's the mercy and grace of God that brought it into my life. And I need mercy. And I need his grace. Because of his grace, I can walk with him. I can have fellowship with him. I can have relationship with him. Because of this prayer, I have something that I could pray. Some of you struggle with your prayer life. I think that's probably part of the reason why they were asking Jesus. And I think it's part of the reason why the Holy Spirit made sure that this prayer was included into the text. Because some of you need to figure out where to start. Well, here's a great place to start. And then you can add your own words. But just like with anything, there's not like a perfect prayer. Just like with Mitchell, there's not a perfect way to ask me. There's not perfect words to ask for string cheese. But there is a perfect attitude. There is a proper attitude. Give me a string cheese. Probably not happening. Right? But Papa G, relationship. Can I have a string cheese? Bring me one too. See, we know this, that our God is with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us because of this covenant relationship. And we have constant, daily, I love this, daily access, moment by moment, but yes, every single day. And I would to God that if I could encourage you to do something, it would be that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, you wake up. How many of you have memorized this prayer when you were a kid or whatever? You got it pretty close to down. Well, memorize it. Get it in you. And wake up and pray this prayer. And then throughout the day, as you're thinking about it, Lord. And then when you see, by the way, when you see a temptation that kind of passed you by, take time to thank God for it. Like you're like, whoa, I was going to fall into that trap. You see that person that you've harbored bitterness towards, now you've forgiven them and here they come. And you realize, wow, it doesn't sting anymore. I've let it go. You can celebrate that. Know this. The great I am is with you, no matter what you're going to deal with this week. But you have a prayer, a fantastic prayer that puts you on a higher footing. The best thing to do if you're dealing with circumstances is to change your perspective. And nothing changes your perspective quite like praying to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning?